This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
A status hearing in effect today. We're going to take you back to the courtroom for part two of that.
Before we proceed on further, a few other things that you've asked about that I want to clarify before we then go forward with a more specific look at how witnesses will be questioned. First of all, how the jurors will be questioned. Everything will be done in open court. The jurors will be referred to by number. Court TV cameras, which are the ones used to film these proceedings, will not be allowed to focus on the image of the jurors as witnesses. And if there's some need to further obscure the way they are presented, we can talk about that. But they'll be examined right here in the courtroom as other witnesses would be. And I kind of looked to a little bit of exchange we'll have with attorneys, both the jurors, to see what we can work out about exactly how the jurors are presented, but everything will be on the record here in open court with measures taken to ensure the privacy of the jurors. No photographs would be permitted of the jurors or anything of that nature. And I believe if I announce that in advance, the press that are present, the press that have covered this proceeding throughout, have been respectful of the judge's requests, and I'm very confident they will be in this matter as well. With respect to the alternate jurors, I will question only the jurors who sat and considered this case. So the alternate who was dismissed by the trial judge. That alternate did not participate in any way in the deliberations about this case. There's nothing that's been brought to my attention about anything the alternate might have done that was improper at all in terms of communications with fellow jurors. Nothing's been alleged in that regard. So our focus will be on the jurors that heard this case, and not on either that alternate or any other alternate juror that has been proposed for questioning. I will not permit that. With witnesses or testimony, I do not allow. Let me explain about proffer. Proffer will be a written proffer by the party dissatisfied with the limitations of my ruling. But there will not be some examination as the proffer. The proffer will be a written proffer by the attorneys in accordance with their positions about witnesses and testimony. With regard to the subpoenaing of witnesses, the parties should subpoena these witnesses. And when it comes to the jurors, I would urge that the parties, the state and defendant, jointly deal with the issue of subpoena of these witnesses. I do not think it is the court's place to subpoena witnesses or order witnesses' appearances. This case is driven by the parties and their positions. The initial position of defense was that only certain jurors should be called. The state said no jurors should be called, but if you do, all should be called. All who sat on the case should be called. If the parties can't agree on how that subpoena should be accomplished, then I'm sure they'll let me know, and I'll try to take some measures in that regard. The concept I would have is that the jurors would report to a place that I will specify, and when they report, they would be taken to a room with appropriate supervision by court personnel, and then called individually to recite their testimony. And then when their testimony was complete, they would simply take their place in the jury box until all were questioned. And then if there were any questions further by me that would be collectively made to the jury, I could do that. And if there are any further questions that were submitted to me by the parties that I chose to question, I would do that. And then when all of that was complete, the jurors would be allowed to be dismissed. So that is how I would handle the juror witness portion of this. And of course, I know I'm going to get some commentary from each side about that, and that's why I talk about this in advance. The other witness that surely needs to be called because of the allegations made is the clerk of court. The state has submitted a preliminary affidavit by the clerk of court, and the defense has many areas that they want to explore for the court. Again, I would like for the parties to develop some joint way of subpoenaing the clerk of court. And if I need to be a part of that, then I'm sure the parties will let me know. But I say this for the benefit, particularly of the attorney for the clerk of court, to know that I would expect that the clerk of court will be called as a witness in these proceedings, 29, 30, and 31, if necessary. We'll be using the same courtroom for these proceedings, this courtroom. And 3B will be used as an overflow for the press. Excuse me, 3A is the one over here, and that's the one I'll be using to conduct the hearing. This courtroom we're sitting in now will be an overflow courtroom for press with a, I'm sure, a court TV monitor that's available for them to monitor the proceedings if there's not enough room. Based on the attendance today, it might be plenty of room, but we'll see. We'll have this as, so I will try to figure out a way to be sure that the broadcast in here of the proceedings will not interfere with the conduct of the hearing past this partition next door. I will trust Mr. Bender to work with the press to arrange the courtroom and the overflow room in accordance with the rules I will set forth here and anything else that may come up that needs my attention. I think that covers it at the present time. So the first thing I'd like to do is to get some clarity from the attorneys as to what furthermore, for the parties, as to what furthermore needs to be discussed. And then after that, we'll explore with the attorneys for the jurors and the attorney for Clark Hill any other issues that still need to be developed. Mr. Hopkins.
Please, Court, Your Honor. I'm trying to make sure I understand what you've just ruled. Are you ruling that we cannot call the alternate juror or the so-called egg lady to corroborate what was said to the sitting juror since they were all told this at the same time?
I'm not sure I understand your question, but I am telling you that I want these jurors, these alternates, would be called apparently to testify as to what the clerk said.
Yes.
At the present time, I see no necessity for them to be called to say what the clerk said because we're talking about what the clerk said to the remaining jurors, those who actually sat upon the case. The corroboration is something I don't think I need at this time. I think I'm perfectly capable of evaluating what the jurors tell me, I'll do that. I think I'm also perfectly capable of evaluating the credibility of Ms. Hill and the jurors for that matter.
Well, Your Honor, for us too, and then you said you wouldn't allow a proffer of that except in writing. Now,
yes, I don't. I'm not going to have a courtroom proffer of any kind. I'm going, if you want to proffer what would be offered by means of affidavits, copies of emails, anything else you want to, that's fine. But I am not going to have a courtroom proffer, no. I think the only reason for the proffer would be to preserve your right to appeal. I believe your right to appeal, my rulings will be perfectly preserved, frankly, even if you didn't have a proffer. But even more so if you supply an in writing proffer.
Well, I'm trying to determine whether an affidavit is sufficient for an appellate court, federal or state, when the state won't have an opportunity to examine that witness. But I mean, they've given, I mean, we can get more detailed affidavits. These people are witnesses to what the clerk said to the juror who deliberated. I don't understand how that can't be relevant to Your Honor's decision. I understand there's two steps. One, did she make the statement? And two, was it prejudicial? These witnesses corroborate she made the statement.
Well, of course, that's what you say. So far, I haven't seen any of that. If that's what you say and you offer it to me in some form that I can evaluate it, I may revisit that decision.
Okay.
At the present time,
okay.
But at the present time, I see nothing that prompts me to think I need to have people who did not sit on the case talk about what they think the clerk said to other people when I've got to direct people to whom it said that I will question.
Well, Your Honor, we did submit an affidavit, but I have no problems going back.
You submitted one alternate affidavit,
right,
and one affidavit of a dismissed alternate. I'm aware of that.
Right. So.
And that doesn't prompt me to change what I just said to you.
All right. We can get you more. A more specific. I understand what the questions are you have, and I would only put those folks up to deal with those very limited issues that you described. Put them up in 10 minutes.
Matt? Well, again, I'm not going to rule in a vacuum. I'll see what you say, and I'll rule upon it.
We'll get affidavits and file them with the court.
Very good.
Thank you.
Your Honor, just one issue as to logistics. Obviously, these jurors are down in Colleton County, and we're up here in Richland County. I've spoken with SLED, and in as much as we need, you know, there may be jurors who need transport. You know, SLED has certainly agreed to have 12 cars if we need to make sure that they're individual. They can then come in through the garage, and obviously they'll be brought up to a jury room. I think Your Honor indicated they can be in a jury room with a bailiff in there to make sure that no one's talking about their testimony and that sort of thing. But also that so that they don't have to come in through the public entrance and that sort of thing. So that would be.
I think that would be a good solution, and of course, to satisfy the concerns that the defense may have, you could either have a member of the defense team or one of their employees ride with them, or if you could agree upon a sworn statement by the agent or person that does drive them, that they. A, will not say anything, and B, did not say anything, then that may clear the problem, too. I think you all can work that out. But I do think having proper transport would, first of all, be a comfort to the witnesses themselves, the jurors themselves. If they can arrange something otherwise, of course, they'd be free to do that. But to the extent it's a burden on them, yes, I think that's a good idea. And in all events, I would want arrangements to be made to have the jurors come to the parking garage in this building and be escorted up in a private way into their assembly room.
And yeah, absolutely, Your Honor, and we will, and I'm sure SLED, I've already spoken to them about that, have uninvolved agents who will be under strict instructions not to discuss the case and happy to have them sign affidavits or whatever to that.
Very good. All right, anything further before I go to the lawyers for the jurors?
All right. Your Honor, only one other point, and that is you've asked us to give you exhibits that we would use.
Yes, sir.
having not asked or had the opportunity to ask Ms. Hill a single question, I can't tell you, and in terms of, there's not thousands of emails we've used, probably five.
And just going on some of the descriptions that were in the filings y'all have made to me.
Well, we've received thousands of emails from Carlton County based on a subpoena we issued. We've received hundreds of pages from the AG's office and from SWED.
It'll make it a lot simpler if it's a small number and a discrete number by submitting them to me. Again, I told you I would evaluate that when I did.
Of course, I don't think you can evaluate them until she testifies.
You know, well, I think you're going to have to trust that I am going to do some evaluating before she testifies.
Okay, and Your Honor, you know, she's given an affidavit denying making any of these statements.
She has.
So these alternate jurors that have been dismissed, would you allow us to call them to impeach her if that's what she testifies to?
At the present time, the answer to that is no, as I have indicated, but again, I'm not going to rule in the vacuum. I would hope that what you all do is send me a pretty specific idea of what you want and how you want me to permit it. So I'm not going to rule on something I haven't seen yet, which is your proposal as to exactly how these witnesses and alternates can be used.
All right, we'll get more extensive affidavits from those two alternates.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Or descriptors of some sort from you as to what you intend to do. I'm not going to dictate how you do it, but I'm going to have a lot more than just kind of the generalities that have been discussed in these briefs in order to permit some.
Well, I think we're going to need an affidavit for appellate purposes, nothing else. I mean, my description to you is not evidence.
Oh, I agree. But, you know, again, I will tell you how I accept a proffer. What you put in the proffer, in the written proffer, is up to you. I don't want to dictate that or manage it.
Well, I just want to say that we're going to hopefully be able to get affidavits from these folks.
Yes.
Much more descriptive than the original affidavits.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Your Honor, may I consult with counsel very briefly?
Certainly.
Things that was discussed earlier was the independent SLED investigation that was done. There were recordings of some of these interviews and MOIs prepared that were just meant to be summaries. I know Your Honor mentioned earlier that you would be open to receiving those.
I discussed
that with counsel, and I believe they said, well, we want to send the ones we want to send. I think if Your Honor's amenable to that, we would just add Your Honor to the discovery upload that was provided to the defense so that information is available to the court for whatever purposes the court deems necessary.
Can I ask this?
Yes, ma'am.
First, would that discovery upload include your interviews, the tape of the interviews, as well as your summary of them?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I will ask you to let my clerk, Eva Diaz, talk with you afterwards about how to send me something of that volume.
Sure.
Our court, IT, has a lot of barriers in our system to us receiving even conventional websites and web tools for examining in volume documents. And so I will want her to interact with you all about exactly how I am to receive that material. But yes, I would be happy to receive it.
And we would be happy to get a couple flash drives and provide it that way, if that makes any sense.
That might be the better way to do it.
Yes,
because,
right.
Again, I can very easily examine a flash drive, even though it takes a long time, particularly if you're kind enough to provide an index at the front of the flash drive as to where the various materials are located. That might be better than using one of these web document sources, since so many of them are excluded from our system.
All right. Well, we'll prepare one and have a copy for you, Your Honor, and then for Ms. Diaz, the clerk, as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, on my list, I have in the courtroom at this time, Mr. Bland, who represents certain of the jurors, Mr. McCullough, who represents certain of the jurors, and Mr. Lewis, who represents Ms. Hill. Are there others in the courtroom who represent jurors or Ms. Hill?
Thank you, Your Honor. Ronnie Richter on the Airplanes Partner.
Went a little fast for me.
Ronnie Richter. Mr. Bland's partner.
Right. Any others? All right. Well, then we'll begin with you, Mr. Bland, if you and Mr. Richter would come forward.
May it please the Court, Your Honor. Ronnie and I represent four jurors who rendered verdicts in this case.
I would like their numbers, but only if that doesn't violate the attorney-client privilege, and you may give them to me now or later.
Can I give them to you later? Have them now. Our job is we want to preserve their anonymity.
I understand.
Two, we want to make sure that they're not harassed. And three, we want to make sure that the verdicts of their conscience remain. And that is not only because they voted guilty. If they voted not guilty, we would feel the same way. After hearing what Your Honor has established by the way of procedures, we're very comfortable with what you have established to protect their anonymity and that they're not harassed. Ronnie came up with a good suggestion. Maybe you renumber the jurors 1 through 12, and that way, because there has been some public disclosure of the jurors' numbers in some of those emails, they were the big batch of emails that Mr. Harpootman referenced. So maybe we cross-reference with the chart 1 through 12 in the juror numbers. But as far as the questioning goes, there's no need for us to be part of this. You're going to make the questions. You've indicated that you're going to preserve their anonymity, that they can't be photographed, they can't be on videotape, and that's about all we have to add.
Your Honor, I would amplify that I certainly respect and appreciate the significance of the issues that are before you. And I respect your decision that you're going to make this public. I would have asked you to make the jury portion closed courtroom. And Your Honor, only for this reason, that I don't know what the jurors are going to say and I don't know what you're going to rule. But let's just say in a hypothetical setting that because juror number 9 said something that you believe deprived Mr. Murdoch of his right to a fair trial, you're going to grant a fair trial, a new trial. I would hate for there to be any mechanism for somebody to backtrace to who was juror number 9. Because the public has very firm opinions about this matter, and I wouldn't want that person to be subject to any kind of public scrutiny. So I would have asked of you that for the juror portion that we do closed courtroom, that the press would be present, that their likeness, both voice and face, be muddled. Just as an additional safeguard. But I certainly appreciate what the safeguards you have put in place. I respect your ruling. I just throw that out for consideration. And on a broader perspective, I know that you've had this experience as well, Your Honor. It's becoming more and more difficult in this state to see the jury. And I can't think of anything more injurious to jury service on a broader perspective than to see jurors who've given up 6 weeks of their lives being pulled back in for a process like this, as necessary as it is. So I worry that the process be handled as gingerly as possible so as not to further prejudice our ability to get juries going forward.
Thank you, sir. What I will do is this. I think your suggestion of renumbering is a good one. It's something that my clerk and I have talked about between the two of us as well. In every proceeding I've ever seen where a juror was questioned, in every case I've read where jurors were questioned because of allegations, either during trial or post-trial, that they had been tampered with, those proceedings have been in open court. And I don't feel it would be appropriate for me to have some kind of in-camera proceeding, even if it included the attorneys that it would have to, and even if it included members of the press but not the general public. I don't think that is in keeping with the public nature trials in this state and potential court proceedings. However, I think we could make some protective arrangements for when they testify and their ability to be dismissed after they testify that would protect them from being settled to the best extent possible. So that is the way I will handle it, and I hope all things on balance that is as protective as you think it needs to be.
We trust you, Your Honor.
Thank all right, Your Honor, on behalf of our clients, we will accept their service of the subpoena so that they don't have to be served.
Well, that's great, and of course you don't represent all of them.
No, our four.
Your four. But that's great, and it may very well be that these parties are going to be able to work out something with respect to some of the rest of them. I don't know. But I appreciate that on behalf of the ones you represent.
Do you want me to come up and tell you our juror numbers? You want me to wait?
No, sir. You can. I don't need that this moment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
Yes, sir. Mr. McCullough.
Your Honor, would you like me here or there?
Oh, go to the podium if you would, please.
Your Honor, I believe by some of your rulings today, they've satisfied several of the things I was going to mention. One, Your Honor, was, of course,
how many jurors do you represent?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I represent number 785 and 630. One is with a deliberating juror, I suppose we call her, and the other was the removed juror.
Right. Now, with respect to the replaced juror, I think my ruling about the end of any testimony from that juror satisfies any requirements you've made. I agree that I will not hear testimony from that juror, at alternate juror at the present time. Now, Mr. Harpootman is going to submit additional information. As regards your client, I ask you to submit that information to you as well. And then I'll see if there's any revision for the position I take about that. You also represent one sitting juror, so you may continue.
Your Honor, the other juror was not an alternate. She was an actual seated juror.
The sitting juror
was removed at the end of the trial.
Oh.
Prior to the election. Whoops.
I need Mr. McCullough to speak up, please.
You need to speak up some, Mr. McCullough.
I don't get that much, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
Your Honor, if you'll indulge me just a moment, I think much of what you've said today bears on a quote that I'm taking from the response of the state, which was filed and is part of your record, and my letter of November 10th responding to that filing is also a part of your record. But the state said that jury duty is this cornerstone of civic duty. Needless exposure of jurors to litigative stress and impeachment by zealous attorneys in a case, especially of this public exposure, can only serve to discourage citizens from willingly participating in this civic duty. Your Honor, I'm delighted with your ruling that you'll be asking questions. I've been subject to your interrogative skills in my appearances before the Supreme Court, so I'm pleased with that, and I checked that off the list. I would like, Your Honor, for you to take judicial notice that there have been excessive public comments by, and I have to say, Your Honor, in my letter of November 10th, I took Mr. Waters, who signed the letter, to task for labeling one of my clients, one of these jurors, as dishonest. I think I wasn't pleased with that. I think that discourages civic participation. I would ask the court to admonish the litigants,
I'm
attorneys.
Not,
oh,
Mr. McCullough, let me stop you there. I am not aware of any of what you're talking about in terms of comments about jurors or otherwise. So that's just not something I'm going to take into account by listening to it or by taking any judicial notice of it. I don't know what I would be taking judicial notice of.
I do not know anything about what you're talking about.
Well, Your Honor, both my letter and the response of the state are part of the record, which you obviously have not gotten to, but I would assume yet. My only request is I would admonish lawyers, officers of the court in this courtroom and outside of this courtroom who represent people to be cautioned that we this is a search for the truth, not an effort to protect the verdict, nor an effort to discourage people from participation. Negative commentary does that, or runs the risk of doing that. That's all I'm saying.
I understand, and I decline to instruct or admonish participants in this procedure in any way about what you say. All right.
Thank you. Your Honor, next, I'd like Mr. Richter and Mr. Bland appreciate your efforts. I suspect that we will decline a ride to the courthouse, but I would ask the court to consider allowing the jurors who choose not to ride with SLED agents to be permitted an entry and exit from the courthouse that would involve or relieve them of the necessity of coming through the front door.
I think I've already said that I will make arrangements for juror witnesses to report to the basement where the law enforcement station is, and they'll be appropriately directed to the assembly room.
And Your Honor, lastly, I think if I understand your rulings or discussions about the process that will occur here, this may run at odds with it, and I'm not arguing with you, Your Honor, you know best. I am of the belief that this litigative stress that I earlier referenced could be avoided, and the public and the media not denied their opportunity to gain access and knowledge of the proceedings by not exposing these jurors to a crowded gallery and a full gallery of press by allowing its recording through, I understand Court TV will be the pool camera. That is to say that I have actually in my history participated in proceedings that involved the questioning of jurors, which was done in camera. So I don't think it's without any precedent, but I would obviously respect your ruling, but I would ask you to consider or reconsider that no damage would be done to the right of the public to know and participate in the proceedings, but you can accomplish the same thing by allowing the pool camera and avoid the distraction and the imposition of that on these jurors.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm not inclined to change the ruling I've made at the present time, but I'll keep an open mind about it as we make pre-trial preparations for the hearing. At the present time, the jurors will be examined in the courtroom, as I have indicated, with appropriate identity protection.
Thank you, Your Honor. And subject to your rulings, I will have both of my clients available for these parties as they might be needed, subject to your subsequent rulings.
Thank you.
Your Honor, do you expect all jurors to be present for all 3 days?
No. I expect the jurors to be the first witnesses to be called in these proceedings. And the jurors will testify, and then they will be dismissed. They would not be required to stay for the rest of the proceedings at all. So that is very much a part of my thought about what it takes to protect their identities. They would be protecting as best I can, and the ability of others to come and to set them with questions as they need would be protected.
So, do you expect that you could get through all 12 in one day, or should I tell them, because a couple have to take off of work?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you.
All right. And Mr. Lewis.
Your Honor, I'll be brief. In light of your rulings, I don't think you need much from me. The only thing that I'll add is I'll have Ms. Hill available for here as the parties need him, and happy to accept service to alleviate one issue for this court. Unless you need anything from me, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you for that. And before you with the podium, let me just consult with the lawyers. I'm not going to ask them to examine you. That wouldn't be fair at all, but I'm going to ask them if there's anything else I need to inquire of before I let you go. But as I understand it, the subpoena, and we would have a formal subpoena of Ms. Hill, would be placed in your hands as her attorney. And you would assure her appearance, and I appreciate that very much.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else on behalf of Mr. Murdoch?
Your Honor, just in an effort to try to expedite this matter, I'd have two questions. One, will Ms. Hill meet with Mr. Griffin and I?
We'll evaluate that.
You'll evaluate it. Okay, that's all I can ask. And secondly, should we have her here on that Monday or wait? I mean, if you're going to be doing the jurors, most of all
day. She should be here as court begins.
All right. Thank you.
Nothing from the state, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
I'll go over my checklist one more time, but I think I've covered everything I want to cover. I'll come to each of you in a moment. Yes, just to clarify other witnesses, as matters now stand, the witnesses in this proceeding would be jurors and Ms. Hill. So I want to be sure that we're all understanding exactly what's going on in that regard. I would not allow the attorneys to be called. I'm unclear about the mention in some of the papers that SLED investigators would be asked to testify or any other witnesses. So I'm going to go one more time. I want to get real specific so you will understand what you need to prepare for by way of in-court examination and what you need to prepare for by way of submitting proper. All right, first of all, for the defendant.
Police Court, Your Honor, just a couple of issues. One, we don't know who we're going to call to impeach Ms. Hill, because we don't know what she's going to say. So it's difficult for us. I mean, once she testifies, at that point, we'd say we'd like to call so-and-so and so-and-so and such-and-such and such-and-such, number one. Or maybe no one. I mean, she may concede every issue we have. For instance, she did tell, according to the state, she did tell one of her assistants, one of the people helping her, I hope he's found guilty because it'll help book sales. Now,
I hope that's the last time you're going to repeat that until I ask for it again, Mr. Harpootman. I've told you that I can't imagine a situation in which I would go that far. So a statement like that, and she may well have said it, if it goes to anything I'm asked to consider, it would be to her credibility. And I'll evaluate whether I think that's even proper to ask, but let's move on from that.
But there are other questions concerning her credibility.
Yes, sir.
404 motive, if she did this, it is a crime. And so, the questions of why she would have done this extraordinary act, we can argue this at another time, but in terms of the reason I mention it is for us to proffer those people now, not knowing what she may admit, she may admit it. There's no witness that needs to be called. So it's difficult for me to game this out. I don't think I've ever been asked to list witnesses I would call to impeach somebody if they lie under oath. I've never heard of such a thing, but I will attempt to do the witnesses we would call prior to Ms. Hill's testimony. That's all I think I can do, if that makes sense.
It doesn't make complete sense to me, because this is not the trial of Ms. Hill. And issues about motive and so forth and the possible commission of crimes are not what this inquiry is about. It is about her contact, if any, with the juror and what she said. I will be treading very carefully with a good deal of what you say about what you might or might not ask. But I am going to ask all the parties to be pretty specific with me about what I ask. I should be asking the jurors, and I can make a decision in advance as to what I am going to do about that, and what is going to be, at least by a general topic, pursued with witnesses.
Yes, sir.
And the reason I do that is because it gives me the opportunity to then consider what rulings I would make and move the proceedings along in an orderly way.
Well, Your Honor, maybe premature for me to note this for the record, but we would accept your ruling on that.
All right, sir.
Okay. Secondly, Mr. Murdaugh has been unable to review any of the discovery material in this case because of the confidentiality order prohibits us to distribute to him while he's in jail. We don't have time in the next less than 2 weeks to go sit down with him and review everything. Would Your Honor allow him to have, and the materials are not as to the evidence in the underlying case, it's as to juror issues. And while he is no longer a lawyer, he was a lawyer at one point, and can evaluate this and be of assistance to us if he has an opportunity to review that material.
You're speaking to me about something in a complete vacuum as far as I'm concerned, so I can't really evaluate what you haven't been able to review with him and what you have been able to review with him. As I understand what you're telling me is I have received certain information as the attorney for defendant that I have not been able to show defendant for defendant's review because of the confidentiality order. I can't imagine that. I think what you may be saying is Mr. Murdaugh has not been able to keep for himself, while I'm not there, confidential materials.
That's correct.
That is something common to many folks who are under incarceration are limited in the kind of materials that they can receive and keep in their possession when they're not with their lawyer. This is not an issue where he's being deprived of the ability to consider material that you have received. This is a question of whether he can have that material in his possession when you are not there or your representatives are not there, and study appointed or so forth. I can't control what the limitations of the Department of Corrections are, nor can I control what limitations may have been put on confidential material because of the fear that it would fall into other hands. So I'm not going to rule in the abstract on things. I would have to have something that's pretty specific, but I can tell you this. I would certainly not order that these materials be wholesale given to him for him to take back to his cell and have in his possession, because I don't know who might see them were that the case. And if they are confidential materials, that would be an extreme risk of breaching the confidentiality of materials to do that because of his situation. And his situation is as it is, not my making or yours.
Your Honor, I would only note for the record this. Much of the material we've received has been within the last 2 weeks. This hearing is scheduled for 2 weeks from yesterday.
Yes, sir.
And you've given us more stuff we have to do between now and that hearing. There's nobody to go sit with him at the jail, and his time is limited as to when those people can visit. So without him being able to review this material, I don't believe we can be effective, and we would be ineffective in representing
him. Well, I understand that those are wise statements for an attorney to make to preserve your position on the record. It doesn't change my view of how we should proceed in this matter at all. I think you will be able to, if there are deficits in what you have been able to do with your client, you will place those contentions on the record, and the appellate courts of the state will have adequate chance to review.
Well, Your Honor, would you consider continuing the hearing on the 29th to allow us to meet with the client to effectively review these materials?
No, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
We respectfully accept your ruling.
I understand.
Thank you.
Mr. Waters?
I don't have much to address, Your Honor. The initial question that Your Honor asked was about SLED agents being listed on the potential witnesses. And, you know, again, Your Honor, when these allegations were first raised, we instructed SLED to do an independent investigation, good, bad, or ugly. And only because of the results of that investigation, or is the reason why we're standing here and litigating these issues before Your Honor. Ultimately, the only way that SLED agents could potentially be testifying, and again, when we filed our response, we didn't know exactly the parameters of the court would rule. The only way, though, that I could see them potentially testifying is in the event that there is an accepted witness by Your Honor, that there was some sort of prior inconsistent statement under Rule 613 or some other permissible inquiry. But I think Your Honor's rulings as to the nature of the inquiry we're going to conduct would probably remove or make very unlikely that need.
All right. Anything further?
Nothing from the state, Your Honor.
Nothing from the defendant, Your Honor.
All right. I say to attorneys for both sides, the court is deeply grateful for the very fine materials you have submitted so far. This is an extreme amount of work in a very truncated period of time, and I appreciate the burdens it places upon you. Mr. Hoffman, I particularly thank you as a member of the General Assembly for not interposing your immunity because you are in session, and I respect that. I set these matters after consultation with y'all so that I could fulfill my obligations to the court as expressed in Chief Justice Beatty's order. But I realize that I'm doing that with your extreme cooperation in light of your other duties, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I look forward to further submissions from the parties and from the hearings commencing January the 29th. Court will be in recess.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
That wraps up the status hearing for Alec Murdaugh and all of the decisions that need to be made ahead of the evidentiary hearing later this month, which we will bring to you live. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.